Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
And we're live. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the DNBA show, the DNBR Nuggets podcast. We are presented by Bet365. Never ordinary. Use the code DNBR365 when you sign up and bet. Harrison Wind, joined by Brendan Vogt on today's show. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? We missed you yesterday. I'm sure you felt good about your choice, though, in the final 60 seconds to miss the game.
Yeah, I was off yesterday. Nuggets lost to the Mavs. Although I kind of hated taking it off because I like watching Luka versus Jokic.
Yeah, true.
So, and we're also doing a watch along, which I didn't know I was missing either.
You are the king of the watch along.
When I took it off, how'd that go though?
That was fun, man.
Yeah,
it was a good time. Yeah, we had our friends Julia and Spencer on as well, and it was nearly a glorious occasion at the bar, but.
Did you let Spencer do an air horn?
No.
Good.
No,
we didn't. She should not be allowed to.
I've heard that, actually. Yeah.
She tried to replace you with the air horn on a couple shows ago.
Turns out I'm hard to replace, Harrison. Turns out.
You and Vlatko have still done the two best air horns in DNVR Nuggets history,
They can't replace him either. Or at least they refused.
Irreplaceable.
To.
On today's show, got some hangover takes to go over. I'll give you some of my hangover takes from Nuggets Mavs last night. Then we got a bunch of mailbag questions to get to as well. Some great mailbag questions. Also a Bet365 top five of our favorite non-Nuggets to watch in the NBA.
Hard list to put together.
Yeah, because both of us have realized we don't like the NBA.
Yeah, turns out it's much more of a Jokic and the Nuggets thing.
We just like the Nuggets.
Uh-huh. That's changed for me over the years, but this was a tough list to put together.
I did get five names, though. I did scrounge and grind, and I was able to come up with five names. So be able to get to that in a second. Do you want to start with your present, though?
Yeah, I'm flummoxed in a great way, the best way. Came to work, and I saw a package with my name on it. And it's a gift from my friend Zach Weaver. Shout out Zach Weaver. It's to the ultimate Michael Porter Jr. fan. And it's called Understanding Michael Porter. The essential guide to competition and strategy. Not actually about Michael Porter Jr., if you're curious or confused, but it's about really, I guess, a leading expert in the world of competition and strategy. It's from the Harvard Business Review Press. So, Harrison, I've got some homework to do tonight as the biggest Porter fan.
Understanding competition strategy, I feel like this could be Michael Porter Jr. adjacent.
I feel like
it's not completely not about him.
I didn't check that there could be a chapter about what to do when you've had several back surgeries, but you're still good. But you're still really good.
What to do when you get swung the rock?
Yes,
that's
don't
chapter
swing it again.
Five.
Don't swing it again. That's line one.
Who is this Michael Porter though?
I'm still trying to figure that out, man. I got to do a little research. I could just read it and let you know. But shout out Zach.
Can
Weaver.
You read the back of it?
Very thoughtful. Yes. If you know Porter's name but you haven't yet engaged with his work, you'll find this book an easy and substantive point of entry.
I think I found him.
Yes.
Michael Porter, American higher education teacher.
Sounds right.
Michael Eugene Porter is an American academic known for his theories on economics, business strategy, and social cause.
Well, it says right here, if you think you already know Porter, you're likely in for a surprise. So that's all I need. That's my tease. I thought I knew him. I'll learn some more this week. Thank you very much, Zach Weaver.
Shout out Zach Weaver. Yeah, that should be a good read.
I guess. I guess. I feel like I have to read it now. Feels a bit like homework.
I feel like you have to read it and then, you know, every show, just a quick...
That's so good, actually.
Synopsis.
That's so good. That's actually exactly what I'm going to do.
This can be our first DNVR book club.
My big takeaways are going to sound very academic going forward.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, we'll check back in on that in a little bit. Let's get into hangover takes. Nuggets fall to the Dallas Mavericks yesterday afternoon. The matinee game, 107-105. Yep, there's the hangover. Actually, this dropped right before we went live. The last two-minute report came out.
Oh, great.
And, of course, I was not on the show, but a big topic of discussion was, did Kyrie Irving step out of bounds on his game-winning shot?
What does the report say?
Conveniently, not even a mention of it in the report.
Whoa. Maybe he was just so in bounds that it wasn't even relevant.
Yeah, check this out. You know, correct call, correct non-call, blah, 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 blah. Not even a correct call or correct non-call on Kyrie Irving stepping out.
Okay, well.
Not even mentioned in the last two-minute report.
I got to be honest, fine with me. There's a certain spirit of out of bounds that I, when you need to Zapruder a screenshot and, like, zoom in. He also hit a 21-foot left-handed hook shot. I know,
luckiest shot.
So it's, I was going to say, here's my biggest hangover take. Watching that possession again and again and Kyrie's reaction. That dude did not think that was going in. I want to be very clear.
Really?
Yeah, man. He's so stoked because he just took a 21-foot left-handed hook shot for the win.
Crazy shot.
Amazing, by the way. And Kyrie is that skilled, so it's not just luck. That's who he is.
That's a shot where the only other person I would be okay with taking it at any point in any game is Nikola Jokic.
Exactly. Exactly. But it also cracked me up because here's what I think happened. Kyrie decided well ahead of time in a game that the Mavericks absolutely needed to win that he was just going to take that shot anyway. And then it goes in and he's like, wow. He was just as surprised as the rest of us. It's a tough one to swallow.
It was a crazy shot though, because if you can tell, you know, Aaron Gordon switches off of him, Yoke picks him up, and then Kyrie's making a beeline towards the foul line, and Yoke kind of cuts off the whole right side of his body.
He does, yep.
So the only thing Kyrie can do is go with the left hand. It was masterful.
It actually is amazing. And
when everybody talks about Kyrie being an artist and, oh, he's the only one that's made the game look so beautiful on plays like that, I'm like, all right, that was pretty beautiful to watch.
But who's the, I think it's Kevin Durant's guy, Eddie Gonzalez, is that his name? He's on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
He tweeted that he once asked Kyrie Irving if he thought he'd mastered basketball, and Kyrie said no, because he still needed to work on the left-handed hook shot. But I do want to say one thing. This kind of cracks me up about the Kyrie conversation. Mastered basketball? Like, come on, man. He was a second option on the team that won the title, and he's an unbelievable player, but I think there's a really funny, I think, American perspective on what it means to master basketball, which is how complete is your package? Can you go to the left hook? Can you go to your left? Basically, the ball don't stop montage meme you're all familiar with. Whereas I think maybe a European perspective on mastering basketball is just, does your team get the best possession every time down? You know,
right.
Massive winning impact. Obviously, Kyrie hit that game-winning shot. He's an unbelievable player, but it just kind of cracked me up the way it's, I think he's a lot of American current players' like favorite guy, most skilled player in the world, hardest guy to guard. And yet at the same time, you've also been wondering where his winning impact is for the last 8-ish years, you know?
Yeah, for sure. My only question on, just to go back to the last two-minute report really quickly, they can invalidate a three-point shot where a guy stepped out from earlier in the game, but they can't go back and review the Kyrie one.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even...
That's the only thing I thought of.
I mean, maybe he was in bounds. I really don't care. I feel like what's crazy is Denver just didn't execute. The Kings of the Clutch.
Yeah.
Had their script laid out in front of them, and Dallas went off script, and Denver just didn't execute. Their destiny... For everything Dallas did well, Denver's destiny was in their control in that final possession.
Which is crazy because... Going back, this is a game that I don't think the Nuggets necessarily deserve to win.
No.
Like, I'm a big believer of, you know, Nikola Jokic's famous quote after they beat the Magic 1 year. I think it was sometime last year where he said, you know, usually in the end, the best teams win and the bad teams lose. Like, I'm usually a believer in you either deserve to win the game or you deserve to lose the game. And that's what usually happens. The Nuggets did not deserve to win that game. They had a great second half comeback. They were unbelievable in that fourth quarter, like they always are. And like we've known them to be throughout the Jokic era, and more specifically these last couple of years. All credit to them. They got the game back to a phase where they did have the opportunity to win it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't deserve to win the game.
I feel like that's evidence by the actual shot that went in. That's when you just right. go.
That might have been the basketball gods intervening.
Going, yeah. You know what? This is there were so many controllable factors in that loss was really my biggest kind of hangover take. And even starting with just the way they guarded Luka, which Denver actually is sneaky good at.
Yeah.
Right? Between AG sneakily and occasionally Porter every now and then.
So I had going back to when they made the Aaron Gordon trade, I had somebody with the Nuggets who was in the front office then tell me they believe that Aaron Gordon guarded Luka Doncic better than any other player in the right. NBA. And part of the reason why they went and got Aaron Gordon, there were a lot of reasons, but one was because they could match up with Luka in the playoffs as good as possible. They could have that matchup, you know, be as they could feel as good about it as possible with Aaron Gordon there.
Right. And it didn't work out that way yesterday. Now, that wasn't all Gordon in a regular season environment. Denver's willing to concede some of those switches. They're fine with Porter out there occasionally, right? Not as the primary, although yesterday, Luka's first two buckets were on Porter, so that didn't work out.
Yeah.
But collectively, they usually have a good game plan and success against Luka. And yesterday, I thought that was maybe the laziest part of their approach was just they kind of never had that almost playoff intensity to the specifically to the part of we got to shut Luka down or off or limit him. And he just kind of was allowed to do what he wanted to do too early, too often.
What's interesting is I remember when we were talking about the Nuggets Celtics games and D-Line brought up a lot. Would the Nuggets hide portions of their game plan? You know, in a matchup like that and save little tweaks
yeah.
and little schematic things for a potential finals matchup. I think there might have been some of that in the Nuggets game plan against Dallas. I feel like there's a better chance you save some of that for like a Mavs matchup than you would for a Celtics matchup.
No doubt.
But I wonder if there was some of that to it where the Nuggets have, you know, a game plan in mind of how they would guard Luka in a playoff series. I wonder if in a regular season game, they're just like, all right, Aaron Gordon, just go out and guard him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what happens.
And if a switch happens and it's because Luka obviously is a switch hunter. And if it's KCP, if it's Mike, we'll live with that. And on the bench, if it was Peyton, if it was Justin, we'll live with that. And obviously, that's actually precisely how they died. Luka killed them that way. And he is so talented that to some extent this is inevitable. But we've seen a more focused effort from Denver in the past in guarding Luka. And I feel confident that, as you just said, if this was maybe game two of a playoff series, they're probably defending him a little differently, at least more intensely. So there's a long list of things. The rebounding was a big part of it. But I just don't think they were ever as focused on the Luka part as we've seen in the past.
Yeah. But I do think AG is as good of a matchup as you could find against Luka in terms of size and strength and basketball IQ as well. And did this matchup, in your opinion, influence how you think about a potential Nuggets-Mavs playoff series at all?
No, it really doesn't. I think even that game in which Dallas's stars outshined Denver's stars, which is possible, but again, I wouldn't guess that that's happening 4 times out of 7.
Yeah.
Even in that dynamic, if Denver just rebounds a little better, if their bench is a tiny bit better, if AG doesn't go under on that screen, if Jamal hits that shot, if Jamal just waits, right? The list goes on and on. Yeah. They could still win that game on the road. I think we know what this matchup is. Denver's decidedly better than Dallas. Of the teams that Denver might play in the first round, Luka's the best player. And so that represents a potential loss. But I would take a series with Dallas tomorrow.
I agree with that, I think. I don't think last night really changed how I feel about a Nuggets-Mavs series. I'd still probably pick Denver to win in five or six. The thing is, though, I think Luka is the second best player in the NBA. I think he's the second best player. I think he's the second most dangerous. He strikes fear in me like nobody else in the NBA does.
Sure.
You know, other than Nikola Jokic, if I was going up against him. And that alone makes me a little fearful of Dallas, but that's what's made me fearful of them always.
Sure.
I just think Luka is that good. I think he can win you two games by himself.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get a bad Jokic game in there and suddenly you're in a game seven. That's my fear about playing Dallas. That's really what it comes down to. I'm not worried about their role players. I'm not even really that worried about like Kyrie Irving as a second option. I'm not too concerned about their bench. It's just the Luka being as good as he is and the fact that he could win, I think, at least two games by himself in a playoff series. That to me is the concerning part.
You'd like to think if you're a top two seed, you don't have to play a player like Luka Doncic in the opening round. But to me, even though it's not really the same roster, just as far as how the series might play out, to me, they're kind of like the Suns last year. If Kyrie and Luka go absolute god tier overload mode, they can steal a couple. But you play that series out, I think Denver's winning it virtually every time. So
yeah. And I mean, look, he went god mode yesterday. And Nikola Jokic had one of his worst offensive games of the season. And Jamal Murray shot 7-20, and they had a chance to win it. I just, you know, I do wish Jamal waited a couple seconds more on that last shot. But other than that,
I don't. You know, Deb brought up the point on the show yesterday about it. When you lose to a team like Dallas, it feels like the difference is the rotation. And that Luka gets to feast against the second unit. Mm. But I think what's actually supposed to happen is that usually Jokic is the best player in the universe, and you win those starter minutes so overwhelmingly, right? If the other coach is throwing star minutes at the bench. Obviously, Denver does with Jamal. It's not the same thing as leaving Luka out there. And that just never materialized. And even still, like, Denver still almost won that game. The bench wasn't very good, particularly the rebounding.
Yeah.
But that those minus 14, minus 15s is... Well, that's Dallas' strategy. Like, they need to drown you
they
in those
They need to
minutes.
Dominate those
They
minutes.
Need to. And they did. But one of my biggest hangover takes, though, is that the rebounding was a controllable factor. Dallas is not an elite rebounding team. They gave an elite rebounding effort yesterday, and Denver didn't. And the numbers show that. But I don't think that's something in a matchup where you go, watch out for the rebounding advantage. Like, Christian Brown can rebound better. Peyton Watson can rebound better, and on and on.
I think the one play that might be ingrained in everybody's minds from this game, and it other than Kyrie Irving's game winner, is the Michael Malone rage timeout when the Nuggets couldn't get that offensive rebound. And it's just Zeke Nagy jumping up and down like three times in the same exact spot. Can't get the rebound. I think the bench was in for that play as well. I think P-Watt was in there. I think CB was in there as well. But yeah, those guys have to do a way better job rebounding. Absolutely.
They do. And by, I also, you know, Adam brought this show up on the Winner's Lounge, but rewatching the game, you go, okay, you needed rebounding help. Why isn't DeAndre Jordan in there? But because Luka's feasting against the bench. And if you thought it looked easy for him on that step back three against Zeke Nagy, if that's DeAndre Jordan on an island, forget about it. But this is the conundrum, right? Where I didn't think Zeke was his effort was there, but what's he going to do against Derek Lively, against a legit big? He's not getting those rebounds. And so that was tough. But that's where Peyton and Christian need to be gang rebounders. And Peyton needed to play a little bigger, I thought, than he did.
Mm-hmm. Let's hit a break. Maybe a couple more hangover takes on the other side, but we'll get into the mailbag as well and get to our Bet365 top five as well. My top five and your top five favorite non-Nuggets players to watch. Tough list to put together, I will say. Tough list to put together, but we managed to do that. Also got some other really good mailbag questions. One of my favorite mailbag questions we got in a while is Michael Malone holding back a secret lineup for the playoffs like he did last year with Aaron Gordon at backup five? I think that's a fascinating question, and I will give my take on it after this.
I'll give my take right now on Miller Lite. My first take is that it should always be Miller time, in my personal opinion. Miller Lite is a delicious, great-tasting white beer. Like just about every podcast host, you know, I'm into light beers now. The IPA phase is over. I'm an adult, is what I'm trying to say. My metabolism is bad. So I drink Miller Lite because it's still delicious, but I don't feel like I'm throwing pounds on, packing, just drinking calories. In fact, I know it's only 96 calories per 12 ounces with Miller Lite. And Miller Lite pairs great with sports, pairs great with wins, pairs great with podcasts. Pairs great with just about any vibe. Everything. Times do change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, baby. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/DNVR. You can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Also, check out Bet365. Use code DNVR365 when you sign up. You can hit that QR code there on the screen or just download the app. Bet365, it's what we use to bet. All the odds we get, all the props we get are from Bet365. When we were betting on our pregame show, we're using Bet365. They got a bet and get offer right now. Place a bet of $5 or more, get $150 in bonus bets. Or you can do a first bet safety net. Place a bet up to $1,000. If your qualifying bet loses, you can still get a match refund and bonus bets. Make sure to download the Bet365 app. Use code DNVR365 when you sign up. And they got all these awesome boosts as well. Sometimes we boost specific things with DNVR. So you can find that right when you log on to the Bet365 app if you're local here. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, back here on the DNVR Nuggets podcast presented by Bet365. Let's get to this week's Bet365 Top 5.
Never ordinary.
It is never ordinary. These are our top five, and we got this from a mailbag question. Top five favorite non-Nuggets to watch.
Great question. My answers are terrible.
Great question from Nuggets Jeans. So, are we doing my list?
We have both. Yeah. We have both. Do you want to go first? I can go first.
You go first.
I'll go first. I think I went with a more traditional list, also known as a very basic list. This list is not, you're not going to be like, wow, look at that hipster NBA podcaster. This is the national hits, okay? Five is Wemby.
Wemby.
Because I've never seen anyone like Wemby, and it's only going to get more different. He didn't even play that well in the Nuggets game, or rather Jokic cooked him early, but you could still see the first 4 minutes Jokic and the Nuggets trying to figure out, like, okay, Godzilla's in the paint, and he's everywhere.
Got to go to the floater.
Got to go to the floater. Jokic started attacking him on the move.
Yeah.
Wemby a little too excited, started doubling Jamal and AG. Can't turn your back on Jokic. But yes, Wemby's unbelievable, and I just think his presence, I think watching Jokic try to figure out that length could be very fun for years to come. Next on the list, number four, we have Anthony Edwards.
This is a casual list vote, I will have to say.
Dude, you're not gonna, this is like the pumpkin spice latte of top five. I will say this, I don't think Anthony Edwards is one of the five best players.
Do you think D'Angelo Russell's underrated as well?
Well, listen, man, this game is about buckets, is it not? No, here's the thing.
Care like that one.
I think Anthony Edwards is a little too quickly thrown into face of the league, elite player conversations.
Well, duh.
He's not there yet, and he's still too young, and he is inconsistent. And sometimes he doesn't get out there for tip-off in time. Never seen that. But
I've never seen that either.
I'm still 65% sure that this is Michael Jordan's biological son.
That's on the table.
I still think it's possible with respect to his real family and all the facts that say otherwise. I'm just not ruling it out. And I feel that way while I watch him. The game-winning block was amazing. His dunks are amazing.
He does make some incredible plays.
Aesthetically, he's a super dope watch. I don't think he's, you know, an MVP candidate. Number three, this one feels like treachery, and I'm very deeply sorry to everyone involved. And he probably would be higher on the list, but he is a Phoenix Sun. So Devin Booker coming in at three.
I have an admission to make. Devin Booker's on my list, too.
He's unbelievable, man. And listen, again, if we're comparing him to, you know, Jokic in a basketball conversation, believe me, I'm bringing up the elimination game stuff. I'm wondering about the mental fortitude. But as far as watching a guy get to his spot and cook, we've seen it. Devin Booker is unbelievable. He's really fun to watch. He's maybe the smoothest player in the league.
He is extremely smooth.
As far as on the perimeter, he's really cool. Yeah. Number two gets a bad rap when compared head-to-head.
This is a terrible pick.
Gets a bad rap when compared head-to-head with Jokic because people go, oh, he's
Mr. Just, run and jump?
Yeah. You know what's fun to watch? Running and jumping. Do I think Giannis is as skilled as the other great players in the league? Absolutely not. Do I think that makes him more guardable than the other best players? Yes. I've seen Giannis in person for free because of this job. It's awesome. That dude's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Like, people don't look like that when they run and jump and dunk.
Okay.
It's fun to watch in person, buddy. He probably shouldn't be number two.
He is fun to watch in person. Way better in person than on TV.
Yes, in my opinion, way, way better in person. But also, I'm not married to this list. Whatever, cook me. Okay, what else do we got? Number one, Luka Doncic. He is the second best player in the league, in my opinion. He's unbelievable to watch. He's a bit more of a grind than Jokic. The talent is unbelievable. Like, the passing prowess is unbelievable. It's a bit more like Luka's going to dribble a lot and wait for your turn. You know, Luka's moving mountains by himself, whereas Jokic is more like water. But, yeah, everyone hates my list. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's fun.
Well, I had two of the same people on my list, and we did not confer on lists at all.
We did not confer.
But I had two of the same people. Should we get to my list?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here's my top five favorite non-Nuggets to watch. Number five, Alperen Şengün. Baby Jokic. I mean, how could you not have him on your list?
Yeah, hard left turn. This is the very hipster podcast team pick.
I thought about going all Europeans, but I didn't.
I respect that. I respect that.
I love watching Şengün, though. Like, Şengün, man, he does have a little Jokic in his game. He's got the Turk Nowitzki. He's got his own version of the Sombor Shuffle. I mean, they're kind of angling the offense around him in Houston, like they did in Denver, you know, when Jokic got on the scene in his second year. Like, I love Şengün. I love Şengün.
He is awesome.
Number four, I did have Devin Booker as well. You guys control me for it, but Booker is awesome to watch. He is so smooth. He's, like, mastered offensive basketball. And, yeah, he's incredible. Number three on my list is Jalen Brunson. What do you think about that?
I almost put him on my list. Definitely respect a tiny king. The Knicks are fun to watch. Brunson has a tiny, tiny bit of grifter in him. Maybe grifter's too strong, but he's a very strategic player. And
you got to grift a little bit when you're 6 foot and not a great athlete.
This is true. But Jalen Brunson was an honorable mention for me, actually. He was.
Yeah. I love Brunson. I love his old school game. He and Jamal Murray have way more similar games than people think. And I just love Brunson. Like, Brunson gets to a spot just like Jamal, it's over. I love how physical he is. I love his mentality. I love Jalen Brunson. Number two on my list, Steph Curry. I still love watching Steph. Like, he's still appointment viewing for me. If there's a Warriors game on, I'm still watching it. And the reason for that is Steph.
Steph was very high on my honorable mentions list. I do have to say, though, he's changed. It's fallen off a little bit for me in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't feel guilty if I miss a Steph game. At his peak, I felt like, what am I doing? I have to watch.
But now, I mean, if he's going up against KCP, 3 for 13.
Yeah, man. You're tuning in to watch KCP in that game.
And number one is also Luka for me. Luka is freaking hilarious. I mean, he's number one on my list because he's just an incredible player, and it feels like he can do absolutely whatever he wants on the court. He's just, you know, guard version of Jokic.
Yep.
But he's also hilarious. Like, the feud with Booker that he has, the antics with the refs, which I think would get really annoying if you actually had to watch him every single night. Just like his mannerisms are so funny to me. I love watching Luka though.
Love it. Yeah, dude, he's unbelievable. I do think it's even he though, man, he's a real gap. There's a gap between him and Jokic for me still.
Oh, for sure.
And that's kind of what I realized putting this list together, man, is it's I was trying to think who plays like Jokic. There's really not an answer. You can kind of maybe Luka or Şengün it.
Yeah.
Maybe Sabonis if you're desperate for a comp, but the truth is Jokic is one of one, and it's part of why this has been so great.
Anybody else that you can think of right now that missed out on your list?
I still love LeBron. I mean, the antics are a bit much. He can be a bit dramatic, especially in a Lakers uniform. But I look, man, LeBron was one of my first favorite players to just watch obsessively night in, night out because of how good he is. And he still has that gear. And some nights you watch and you go, this did not look that different from peak LeBron. And that's crazy to me. I'm not going to put him on the list, but he's closer to it. Closer to it, maybe, for me than others.
Yeah, we were talking about this list in the office a few minutes ago. Definitely some Bron sexuals in the DNVR offices that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Can I throw a quick shout out to pre-hamstring injury Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah, Halliburton, honorable mention for me. Halliburton was definitely honorable mention.
He's kind of fallen off.
Well, he's averaging like 15 points a game since the in-season tournament ended.
Well, yeah, he got hurt. Like, he missed, like,
he did get hurt.
He missed a bunch of time, and he came back too early, clearly.
But I will say, for like a month, he was every Nuggets fan's answer to favorite non-Jokic or non-Nuggets.
For sure. Because he has a little Luka, like, European flair in his game, I feel like.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I like part of your Luka answer because it's theatrics, man. Like, that's...
He's so funny.
Yeah, dude. You know he's gonna put a show on. He's gonna put on a show. Yeah. And that's the chat said SGA. SGA is not on my list, man.
Not on my list either.
Top five players in the league.
That stat patter.
Maybe that's an argument, but I don't like watching him play. He's a real, real foul merchant, in my opinion. And I just don't, even if it's by the letter of the law, I just don't like watching pump fake mid-range footwork that results in a bump and a foul. I just don't care for it.
SGA does have one of the more unstoppable moves in the NBA. You know, I feel like every great player on our list has one. Well, Jokic's unstoppable move, he's got a couple. I mean, he's got the Sombor shuffle. He's got the one pivot, two pivot, little right baby hook. He's got some of those as well. Like the running right hander, I think you could also say. Luka has the step back. SGA has the, you know, two dribble, like reverse pivot fadeaway jumper.
Yep.
That's unblockable, and he hits it every time. It's an art form.
Chad said, what about our least favorite players to watch? Off the top of your head.
Harden,
Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid.
Towns
is a good one.
I hate Towns, man.
You know who's up there for me and always has been? Damian Lillard. True foul merchant. Somehow has skated by in these conversations.
Yeah.
That guy is like, even his unbelievable clutch time performance against Austin Rivers and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
That's because Austin Rivers wasn't allowed within sneezing range of him without there being a whistle.
And the Nuggets still won that game.
Sure did. So, you know what, man? Dame, you're on my least favorites list.
I'm still mad he made the NBA Top 75 team as, like, one of the worst defenders in league history.
I'm going to hammer that as a completely unnecessary talking point for years. That he's very overrated.
Do I have any other of my least favorites to watch?
Nurkic is up there. We hate Nurkic.
Yeah.
Tatum.
I wanted to hit this quickly before we got to our next break. Did you see the Suns? I mean, you probably did.
I did.
The Suns signed Isaiah Thomas to a 10-day contract.
I did see this.
I was going to throw a really like snarky tweet out there, and I didn't because I applaud Isaiah Thomas for grinding to get back to the NBA, and the guy's been through some, you know, potentially career-ending injuries for other guys.
Yeah.
You know, torn labrums in his hips that he's had for years that he's had to get surgery on. That would end a lot of guys' careers, especially guys that are 5'9". So I applaud him for getting back to the NBA. But this might be one of the worst signings of all time.
Yeah. If as far as the Suns dynamic of they have guys that can hit buckets, but they sure don't have role players that can really defend, this sure doesn't help, does it?
It's just a 10-day contract, but a lot of people are out there saying, oh, there's no risk to this. There's risk to signing Isaiah Thomas, and I say that from somebody who watched a similar thing to what's probably going to happen in Phoenix unfold in Denver. It's a 10-day contract. There's some talk that he's pretty much locked in for a rest of the year deal. Again, I'm very happy for Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
I
am too.
I applaud him getting back to the NBA and getting another shot. But the Suns are, again, out of their minds. This is going to become a distraction. He's going to have to play. You're going to have to give him a shot. It's probably going to go poorly, just like it went poorly in Denver. It's going to mess up their bench chemistry, just like it did in Denver. And then he's going to be on the team for the rest of the year while fans are clamoring at every bad half or bad game from the Suns to get this guy back in the rotation. I'm telling you, I can just see exactly how it's going to go. And I continue to feel bad for Suns fans for what's happening to that team.
Yeah, I don't, but I understand the sentiment. the thing, yeah. Yeah.
I can just see exactly how like the story is going to go.
Well, I think the point you made that I like the most is Phoenix is already, it's been so turbulent. They haven't been able to just play the five guys that they'd like to play together consistently. There are a lot of different lineups. There are a lot of different closing lineups.
Yeah.
And like you just said, IT probably isn't there just to cheer on from the bench. If he's going to play, you're probably just further kicking the can down the road of what does our closing group actually look like? How do we get to it? If that includes IT, good luck just defensively. So it is, I mean, look, they needed a point guard.
They needed a point guard, but a point guard that's exactly the opposite of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, it's not.
They needed a defensive-minded, non-scoring point guard.
It's not quite the same food for thought as when they added Kevin Durant last year. It feels different to me. Different scale.
Yeah. I don't know, I do feel for Suns fans that they had a team that made the finals and that they really liked, and now it seems like they have a team that
the worst part hate. Is that their team has too much talent to give up on the season as a fan. There's no reason to stop watching. They're also not going to win a title. They're just not. They aren't.
All right, let's hit another break. We'll get to mailbag questions on the other side, and we'll start with the potential secret lineup that Michael Malone may have in his bag again.
Tell you what's not a secret, Volo Sports. It's one of the best ways to get out into the community, give back to the community, make yourself a Denverite. When I moved to Denver, I wanted to actually live here. I didn't want to just rent a zip code. This job helps a lot. So did Volo. It's a modern day sport and social club for $20 a month. It's the best way to meet new people, get active, and play games in the city. You've seen DNVR teams possibly out there. We've had beer in hand kickball teams, bowling teams. I played on a bags team at Illegal Pete's, which was super fun.
Oh, what?
Cornhole.
Oh, bags.
Yeah. We had a ringer on our team, a kid from the Midwest. He couldn't miss. He told me that back home at the farm, his boards were so dusty that if you didn't hole in one it, they'd slide off. So he just Larry Birded his way to cornhole perfection.
Have you ever seen, like, you're kind of saying it, professional cornhole players?
Yeah, there's levels.
Insane.
There's levels. Anyway, get yourself a ringer if you want to win. But there's a lot of different things you can play. Free or discounted access to tournaments, fitness classes, and events. Travel with the Volo Pass, all perks accessible in any Volo city. Sign up for the Volo app using code DNVR3. That's DNVR3 to get the Volo Pass for only $10 a month for your first 3 months.
Also, check out American Financing. It's expensive to live anywhere these days, especially Colorado. If you're struggling with everyday finances, and I would recommend hitting up American Financing. Right now, they're saving their customers an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high-interest credit card debt. So if you own a home, hit these guys up. $854 a month, that's like a $10,000 raise over the course of the year. They don't charge any upfront fees. They don't have anybody working on commission either. all salary-based mortgage consultants, and their job, their focus, is to save you money. So that's their goal every single day when they walk into work. They're great at what they do. They care about you as a customer. They're not on commission, like I said, and they're locally based in Colorado. When you call them up at 303-695-7000, you're not just getting somebody in a call center somewhere. You're getting somebody in Colorado who's going to help you save money. Call American Financing today. You may close in as fast as 10 days and may be able to delay two mortgage payments. Call today. Tell them DNVR sent you. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000, or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. All right, back here on the DNVR Nuggets podcast presented by Bet365. Let's go to the mailbag.
Mail time.
And I want to start with this question from Aaron Zayon.
Sick name.
He goes back to last year's playoffs, and he says AG at the back of five was a bit of a surprise. If you remember, I mean, it was. They didn't play Aaron Gordon at backup five at all during the regular season. And we saw it in the playoffs. It worked wonderfully. Do you anticipate a lineup this postseason that we haven't seen much of yet?
I'm honestly going to throw this one right back to you because I feel like you were excited about it and you have an answer you like. So I'm going to let you go ahead.
So I don't think there's going to be anything as drastic as this. I mean, Aaron Gordon at five was the default bench lineup during the playoffs. I don't think we're going to see anything as drastic as that.
Right.
But something I think we've been trending towards and I think we're going to see in the playoffs is I wonder if Michael Malone is only going to play Reggie Jackson with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
I feel like that is how his minutes have kind of been trending.
Yep, no doubt.
Over the last couple of weeks.
No doubt.
And then you throw Justin Holiday into the rotation a little bit. I just wonder if Michael Malone is only going to want to play Reggie Jackson with Nikola Jokic. You wipe out all of the Jamal Murray, Reggie Jackson backcourt minutes. You just take that away. We're not playing that at all. Reggie's minutes are dialed back a little bit. I wonder if that's the thought Denver has going into the playoffs with Reggie. Let's just play him with Jokic. Let's try to get him going that way. If he's on the floor with Joker, I mean, he's going to get easier looks, great pick and roll partner, good offense or better offense, you know, just more organic offense than you get when he's out there in those Jamal lineups. That was my first thought when I saw this question. I wonder if we see that in the postseason.
They're definitely auditioning it, right? They're definitely trying it out right now, and I think it's worked out. Murray leading a bench unit with Gordon. And then, look, if you want to go 8.5 to 9-man rotation, you could go Christian, Justin, Payton, or whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe you stick to 8, and it's like maybe Porter plays some of those minutes too. I don't know. But, yeah, if Reggie's just bridge minutes, right, like an 8th dude, kind of the way Christian and Jeff – only one of them really played in each series. The other one kind of was barely out there. If Reggie could just be bridge minutes, only for the Jokic minutes to give Murray a rest while he plays with the bench, that is doable.
Do you think that Justin Holiday is playing minutes every playoff game?
I don't know about every playoff game, but I think it's...
because he's the other one that I feel like could be you know, the answer to this. What if the playoffs start and he's getting 10, 12 minutes every single game?
Totally. And again, instead of a 7.5, it's an 8.5 man kind of rotation. I could see that. I think he's on the bubble, right? He's not guaranteed to play in any series or any game, but he should stay warm. I mean, he might be a part of, especially if they're going to do what they can to keep Reggie separated from Jamal. The biggest thing is that Reggie, and I'm not really trying to sound like a jerk. He's been so bad defensively that it really almost tanks everything the bench is trying to do, you know? And you can survive that alongside Jokic where your offense is good enough. Mm-hmm. But if it's just him out there with Jamal, it almost undermines the whole operation, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, I don't think there's going to be anything as drastic as AG all of a sudden becoming the backup center. But I think there could be some tweaks that we haven't, you know, fully seen this regular season. This comes from Josh Barnett. How hard should the Nuggets go for the one seed? Do you think OKC finishing first seed hurts our chances in winning the West? How hard should they go for the one seed in your mind?
Look, they play every other game here till the end. I don't know how much of a conscious attitude shift is needed one way or another. Like, you're just going to be playing these games and trying to win them, and it's every other day. So I will say, if you get down to the last handful of games and it's just OKC ahead of you, even knowing that Minnesota game's coming, let's just say you feel pretty good that you've cleared, then you don't have to play guys 40 minutes a night, right? The best way to frame it for me is that one or two seed is really similar this year, because you're probably going to have a worse record than Boston. It's okay if you have a worse record than the Thunder. I think you want to stay really, you want to go super hard in these Minnesota games. I think you want to beat Minnesota. You want to stay in that two seed. I don't know if one seed is as essential as it seemed last year, but that's just my thought.
I agree. I think you wanted the one seed last year. You proved you could win on the road in the playoffs. You're not worried about that anymore. I don't think it's as essential this year. But, yeah, I mean, if you can push for it, I think you should try to get it. It does – I think it's not ideal for the Nuggets that Minnesota's fallen off like they had, because if you didn't get the one seed and you had to pick another team to get the one seed, I think it'd be Minnesota, because – I would want to be on OKC side of the bracket in that scenario. Like, if Minnesota had the one and then it was Denver OKC 2-3.
Yeah.
That'd be fine, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm not worried about the Thunder. I'm more scared of Minnesota. Or if it was Minnesota 1, OKC 2, Denver 3. If this standings holds, you know, you're going to be on the same side of the bracket if you get the two with Minnesota, most likely. And if I'm the Nuggets, I would want to avoid Minnesota as long as possible.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think they don't, I kind of feel, and I'm sure they don't, that they shouldn't fear anyone in that way.
No.
You know, you go get home court.
And they probably shouldn't.
And I think even if you do end up in a series against the Thunder, I think you absolutely can still win that series in a Western Conference Finals without home court. You probably want it against every other team. The other teams, just to make sure. And it'd be ideal to get it. I'm not pretending it's irrelevant, but I do feel like you can live with OKC 1, Denver 2. That's my bottom line.
This question comes from T. Sweezy. Agenda corner time. Can I get your ideal round-by-round matchups for this Nuggets playoff run? He says his is Lakers, then Clippers, then Thunder, then Celtics. So if we're just looking at the play-in teams right now, who would the Nuggets want to play out of Dallas, Phoenix, Golden State, Lakers?
From a narrative perspective,
it's probably Lakers or Warriors.
Maybe Warriors, just because you already did the Lakers, yeah. Narrative-wise. I honestly, not even kidding, matchup-wise, I think the Lakers are the best matchup.
I actually agree.
I unironically think that's their easiest.
I think the Lakers would be a sweep.
I do, too. I do, too.
I mean, it was last year.
You could argue narrative-wise a Mavericks one would be fun, because if you think about some of the guys Jokic has beaten in the playoffs, now they're not all at their peaks, but as time goes on, that's not how everyone's going to remember it. He's got wins over KD now, Devin Booker, LeBron James. He's got big wins over big-time players, and I think getting one over Luka in his prime or his ascension to his prime would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, all four of these I think are pretty good for a narrative start to a playoff run. I don't really think you could go wrong, because I think you're playing and beating any of those teams, and I think the national narrative is that those teams are better than they really are.
Right. I will say, though, I'm not scared of the Suns, but I think the Suns might be able to push the Nuggets harder than any other team in the West, and it's because of what happened last year. They pushed the Nuggets to 6.
Yeah.
Nobody else did. They did it with Devin Booker not missing a shot. Could that happen again? Absolutely. So I just think, look, the Suns could score. They could outscore the Nuggets like they did last year, 2 games. Again, you luck into Jokic foul trouble again in a long series like that. Who knows what could happen? So I would want to see the Suns a little later down the line.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to go with Warriors because it's just, even though I think they're well over the hill, there's a full circle kind of poetic thing to just getting them out of the way.
Yeah. Last one here before we hit our final break. The boy's dad asks, of the remaining 14 games, which will the Nuggets not go into as favorites? This is a great question. So let me look here. At Minnesota, I'm assuming they're favorites tomorrow night, right? The 19th. Other than that,
are they?
The only other one where I feel like they could be underdogs is maybe at the Clippers. Are they underdogs tomorrow night? Can you check that, Kale? But other than that, I feel like there's only one potential game, and that's at the Clippers, which I think they'll be favorites for.
Yeah.
So I'll say they're favorites for every game of the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I also don't. I would throw that out the window, honestly. Like, those Wolves games, I think, are just going to be dogfights.
I agree.
Are going to come in. The Wolves, for the last 2 years, have had a, with the very important exception of the playoff series, which is what matters most, in the regular season, I think the Wolves have had a we want this more advantage over Denver for the last couple of seasons. Will it materialize again? Will it manifest that way down the stretch? Probably, actually. I would think that the Wolves are going to be fighting for more inch by inch and even just confidence-wise. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, you know, those games I think will just all be dogfights. But, look, the reality is the Nuggets can win any single game that they play, even if they're on the road in Boston.
Yeah. So, yeah, they should be favorites in the rest of these.
Oh, yeah, because it's a back-to-back.
The line is not up for
so it's
tomorrow.
A back-to-back, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Because Minnesota plays tonight.
That's yeah.
Why. So that's why.
I'm sure the Nuggets will
then
be
the Nuggets, yeah.
A point or two favorites, though. All right, let's hit a final break. We'll get through as many other mailbag questions as we can on the other side and, yeah, wrap up today's show.
Man, before March Madness starts, join the DNVR and Illegal Pete's Bracket Challenge for free.
My bracket's in.
His bracket's in, folks. Prizes for the top three finishes include diehard memberships, a shirt and gift card to the DNVR locker, and Illegal Pete's gift cards. Check out our socials for the link to sign up. By the way, if you are in Wheat Ridge, you now have a friend in the burrito business. Illegal Pete's Golds is open. Swing by and join the festivities with live music, endless margaritas, and of course, all your favorite burrito fixins. Located in Golds Marketplace on the corner of 26th and Kipling, overlooking Crown Hill Park in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Stop by to be a part of this historical Illegal Pete's moment. Illegal Pete's, it's your go-to spots for burritos, buddies, and beer.
Also, it's a great time to become a DNVR diehard. Go to thednvr.com, sign up, $7 a month. You get a free shirt or hat of your choice from the DNVR locker, and then you get one every year. Access to all our diehard level content, our roundtables on thednvr. You get access to Discord as well. 20% off all events, 20% off all merch, tons of other benefits as well. You also get a discount at the bar if you're local.
That's nice.
That's really nice. Sign up on thednvr.com. Join the coolest club in Denver. If you're a diehard Denver sports fan, you got to be a diehard. And we're back on the DNVR Nuggets podcast presented by Bet365. Let's breeze through some more of these mailbag questions here. Let's go to this one from Rob Stennett. Now that all NBA seems to be off the table for Jamal Murray, what does that mean for his next contract? Seems like he's ineligible for all NBA this year with some weird rules about the 65-game limit.
And what it takes to qualify for one of those 65 games, minutes played in each game.
Yeah. So he's not eligible for all NBA, I don't believe.
I think he's ineligible. I think that's correct, yeah.
So he could sign the extension this summer. He could also try to make all NBA again next year and then sign the extension. What does it mean for his next contract? He's going to get a max. The Nuggets are going to give him a max. Anybody would. But it's not going to be as much as the supermax would be if he made all NBA, which is actually good news for the Nuggets.
Yeah. Although
gives them a little more wiggle room.
In theory, if you're Murray, you probably just wait, right? Play another year and try to do it.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, with the injuries that he's had, he just wants to sign it right now. I don't know what he's going to do. But I could honestly see him going down both paths.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's a good... I've also... you know, we've sort of just taken for granted Murray's presence as a Nugget, and then there's the injury, so sans a trade, he was never going anywhere unless the Nuggets decided otherwise. So I'm just sort of now realizing how little we really know and can infer about the way Murray approaches these situations, like what his priorities are, which can be a little different for each player.
Yeah,
and that's actually, I'm just sort of realizing in real time how little we know about the way Murray would handle this.
Yeah. What are the top three Moach or Nugget player quotes that you've heard this season?
This season?
From Matthew Kamara.
Man, I feel like we haven't had as
many.
Does
Michael Malone take that L, even though it's a rehash of an old quote? I mean, that's probably number one.
Yeah, we can do that.
Him just busting that out against the Celtics is wild.
Don't you feel like we haven't had as many? Last year, they were chock full.
Winning is fun, losing sucks.
Yep, there we go.
That's probably the number one player quote.
For me, Porter saying he just needed to get a tan. That was way up there.
How can we forget the infamous text message that KCP let us know about?
Because there wasn't like a banger quote. It was just KCP telling us there was this text message out there. And then I followed up because I was like, so what was in the text? And he was like, I can't tell you, but... Got us all motivated. This one comes from... Let's go to this one from Paul Uzium. Jokic basically had a whole defensive strategy of kickball violations, which the national media even talked about. I haven't seen much, if any, kickballs by him this season. Is that a sign of him reaching another level on defense? I feel like he's still committing a lot of kickballs. Maybe not as many as last season, but... still a lot.
Yeah, I guess maybe it doesn't bother Zach Lowe as much. I will say, shout out Zach Lowe, actual friend of the show. I will say, I do think Jokic has made more of an effort consistently on defense this year, just game to game. And a lot of that is quite literally bending down to deflect in the passing lane and get those Cookie Monster steals as opposed to just F it. And I don't know what the raw totals are on those, but... I do think he's made a bit more of an effort to play real defense at times as opposed to just, I don't feel like doing this right now.
Let me see if I can pull up the deflection stats. Let's see. Jokic right now is first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth in deflections per game. He overall is fifth in total deflections. That tells me that he's still committing a lot of kickball violations because those count as deflections.
I'm sure he is.
This question from Robert Zaglinski, also having to do with Jokic. Level of concern, scale 1 to 10, about the beat Yoke up, hope it throws off his composure strategy for the playoffs. Level of concern around that.
Very low because I think that's been the Jokic strategy for a long time.
Going back to the bubble.
Even before the NBA stealth adjusted the way they officiate, I actually think Jokic is good. Fairness is not in the question here. It's like a bottom line. I think he's going to have to refocus a little bit and just recognize that while he was never getting those calls, no one is right now. Those bigs aren't getting those calls. Sabonis got clobbered the other night. But my point being is that those were the set of circumstances surrounding his MVPs, surrounding his finals MVP. He can win a title, be the best player alive with a bad whistle. And I think that's part of it. I think that's part of his success in the playoffs, in my opinion, is that he's never spent his career playing for calls because he doesn't get them. So I think lean into this. Let it be a strength. Let it be a fact about your team that you've never needed it. And I just know Jokic can push through these things.
I'm a little more concerned about it because part of the reason why Jokic complains about certain calls is because in the meetings that referees have with teams, the training camp meeting that he had with Joey Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
That we all saw at Nuggets training camp. They're telling him, you know, what constitutes as a foul. when you're guarding a guy in the post, you can't put two hands on his back. That's an automatic foul. That's something refs have told Jokic. So a lot of his complaints come from how the game is supposed to be called and how, you know, these calls that refs have told him are fouls aren't being called as fouls. A little worried about his frustration level rising even more if now just like all those rules are thrown out the window, which it seems like they kind of are right now.
Yeah, I just think I think for Jokic, he handles it differently across 82 games versus those 16 wins, right? Because I think in any given month in a regular season, he might blow a gasket and just be like, I have to send a message. This is too much. This is enough.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing that in the playoffs. I think he's just simply winning anyway. And I've just seen him do it. So, yeah, it makes it harder. But I think Jokic is used to it, man. I think Jokic has had a tough whistle for
absolutely.
6 years, you know?
Absolutely. Let's hit a couple quick ones here, and then we'll get the Super Chats. Who's your favorite Nuggets have the ball on a fast break? Jokic.
Jokic.
Who's your least favorite? You don't have to answer that.
KCP.
Okay.
It's got to be KCP. Come on, man. Although I will say he's dunking everything, and I feel like he knows. He's like, I got to stop laying this in, man.
This is the final one we've got time for. Then we'll hit Super Chats. We maybe incorrectly appointed the black 5280 jerseys as the Reggie Jackson jerseys earlier this season. That might have been we might have jumped the gun on that.
I think
slightly
so. We got excited.
Are they the P-Watt jerseys? Bill Zine Ball asks, do we know which jersey is the P-Watt jersey? Are they the P-Watt jerseys?
I think that's TBD. I think Peyton can still earn one if he has a moment.
I think the safest move is that they're TBD right now.
Someone's going to have a playoff game in that jersey, and they get to claim it.
I'd say P-Watt is the favorite, but it could be anybody.
Yeah.
So it could be anybody.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit two Super Chats, and we'll get out of here. Thanks for the questions, guys.
Josh Bonnet from Down Under. Huzzah/Brendo, the best two-man game I've seen this week.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Yep, new favorite combo. We all know the drill.
Maybe we should just fire the other guys. Bashir Daoud, y'all rock. /Will Rudy play tomorrow? #Jokic for Broncos QB.
Good question. He has missed the last couple games, I believe.
Yeah, left rib sprain. I'm serious.
Can
you
sprain a rib?
That's what I think I saw.
That's impossible.
That is, hold on. That can't be
you
right.
You can't sprain a rib.
I think I'm just saying shit. Hang on.
So I don't know. It might be clear based on what happens tonight.
It's left rib sprain.
Left rib sprain?
Yeah. He's questionable tonight.
They're playing at the Jazz tonight, and then they have to go home to play the Nuggets tomorrow. That is a tough back-to-back.
I think you rest him. If you're looking to rest him, you rest him tonight, I think. And then you play him. You got to beat the Denver.
But he probably also wants to play in Utah.
Oh, that's true. Maybe he just plays both.
Maybe.
Look, my bottom line is that Minnesota is going to want these Denver games. So if guys are healthy enough to play, they're probably playing. Probably playing.
Final note, Zeke Nagy, only name on the Nuggets injury report. Questionable with low back pain.
Okay.
So keep that in mind when you're putting together your rotations for tomorrow night. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for watching today. Throw us a quick like before we get out of here. Takes a millisecond to do. And thanks for the questions. Sorry we couldn't get to them all, but really appreciate you guys sending them our way. And we'll be back tomorrow. Nuggets and Timberwolves. In Minnesota. Can't wait for that.
That's a good one, man. I'm pumped.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys then.
We all silly like the mayor.